Hi, I'm Colby, and you're listening to the Real Vintage Podcast.
Welcome to the Real Vintage Podcast with your host, Stephen Cox. On today's episode...
But I'm commanded in Scripture to feed the flock of God and to pray for the church. The true calling of a pastor is not to run programs.
All that and more coming up next.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Real Vintage Podcast. And this is Stephen Cox, your host on here today. And I so thank you for downloading and listening. And boy, we really, the last podcast we had, Priorities Part 1, we were able to see a great increase in our downloads and listening and just a great feedback. A lot of you were able to give some really positive feedback. Many of you messaged about how the priorities kind of spoke to you. We discussed a little bit about family and how important it is to spend time with your family, put your family first, of course, and just spend time, pour into them, shepherd your family, and then, of course, take time to relax. Had a few guys reach out about some questions about like vacation and just the little day getaways and little mini vacations. Those are things that our family looks forward to. And the feedback that I got from that was just wonderful. Emails, text messages, Facebook posts. Some of you even made posts. I know one of our deacons in our church, he made a post on Facebook that really touched my heart. And it was really good. And a couple other pastors and different ones. And I really appreciate you just listening. It's such a blessing to have people listen to the podcast. During our reboot, what I call the reboot, we were down for just a little bit. We, again, had some just busy things going on. But when we decided about 4 or 5 episodes ago to go ahead and just launch it back, we realized that it's now post-COVID, and during COVID, you know, people were at home, and we realized that people were listening probably a little bit more. And podcasts became very popular in 2020 because, well, you wasn't doing much anything else. And that was part of the reason why we started the podcast. We of course, I'd always wanted to at least have a radio broadcast or a podcast. And so it was just the perfect time. It wasn't that we didn't have anything else to do, but it was just the perfect timing. And then God, of course, sent Ken Everson into my life and into our church. And so he had some, he was technology, gifted in technology. And so we just kind of put it all together, and it just happened. And boy, the response right away was awesome. And so our prayer, though, through the podcast is that we just be an encouragement, and just a few minutes each week. Every Friday we're putting out a new podcast, and we want you just to listen. We hope to be upbeat, encouraging, lifting, and maybe challenging in some areas as well. That's my prayer, and I hope that you are listening to each thing that we do and when we do it. And so let me give you a couple things that, of course, many of you have been reaching out and praying about, and that would be our building process that we have. We have a new building that we're in the middle of negotiation, and we should know something in the next, I don't know, probably week or so, but it's all been positive. Many of you have been praying, and we're trying to expand our campus, and we need more space for our church. And so a lot of you has been reaching out about that, and I thought that if you're listening to the download today, that you would just give you a little update there on our building situation. Just keep praying, and we'll certainly let everybody know when that takes place, and we're looking forward to what God has in store there. This part of the podcast, part two of priorities, is dealing with the pastoral side of priorities. And I, you know, when I took this church 5 years ago, the church was, it's still what I would call a medium-sized church. I think this past Sunday, a little over 400 folks here, and that's a blessing. That's a good-sized church, well above average. If you look at the average Baptist church in America, I think the average church is down below 200 or something like that, 150 people. We are well above average, but we're still relatively, we're in a good stage. That, To be honest, one pastor, I have a dear pastor friend who pastors a very large church, a Southern Baptist church, and he remembers when their church was 400 or 500 people, and he said them were actually some very good days, because between 300 to 600, you can still keep things relatively simple and smaller, and you can still talk to people like real. He said, but when it starts getting up there, 700, 800, 900, 1,000, and more, you then are shepherding your staff, and they're actually shepherding the people in that sense, where they're really connecting. And the pastor, he's not able, humanly speaking, to connect with everybody. So that kind of puts the pastor. Some of you, many of you, would only pastor a church of my size or less. There's a few of you probably listening that has a church larger, and God's blessed numerically, and that's wonderful. And but you know, you kind of get into a situation where you're at a crossroads. There's two traps that I find pastors that get into. Sometimes when I took this church, it was smaller. There was about 80, I think the first Sunday, 87 people, and I was able to go to everything. It was an older church. There wasn't many young people. And so, you know, if there was something going on, if there was a birthday party, or if there's something, I was able to attend it on a Saturday, or I was able to go to this or go to that, what I call special occasions. But as the church grew and as my family got older and more, you know, just more established, I guess, the trap, I found myself at a crossroads where I had to choose between going and being a part of this special event, or either spending time with my family, or actually studying the Word of God and praying for my church and doing some things that I'm called to do. And so the precedent, I guess, is set when you're a small pastor that you can attend Johnny's baseball game. You know, maybe a parent invites you to Johnny's baseball game, maybe Susie's piano recital, and the pastor can go, and or maybe you know, Granny's 85th birthday, and they want you to come. And but when the church starts, you know, 400 or 500 people, you're not physically able to do that. There's no way. And when a pastor sets that precedent in his life and in his church that he's going to try to make it to every surgery, every recital, every baseball game, every birthday party, every special event, well, you're going to run yourself ragged, and you're not going to, you're setting expectations that are, they're not really attainable. And what your church is doing, you're spoiling your church. What I say by that is, yes, you're attending these things, but you're having to let go of study time, prayer time. There's no way you can study, pray, and attend all these things and either feed the flock of God like you should. Well, you say, well, but I'm doing the other. Well, the other is good while you're able to do it, but I'm commanded in Scripture to feed the flock of God and to pray for the church. So enjoy those days. Hey, if your church is running 50 people, and that's what you're, let's say you're out in the backside of nowhere and you got 50 folks and you're able to go to these special events, do it, and able to pray and read your Bible and love your family and spend time with them and all, man, do it. But when the church continues to grow and you start seeing some wonderful success in the numerical area, if that's what the Lord chooses to do to your church, then there's going to have to be some priorities set. The true calling of a pastor is not to run programs. That's not my calling. My calling is not to run a program. My calling is not to go to these special events. My calling is to feed the flock of God who's under my care. And so I am to be a shepherd of that flock. And listen, I answer to one, and that's the chief shepherd. That's the Lord Jesus. And we got to remind ourselves that though people will be pulling at us to go to this, and occasionally you might have someone get upset. They may say, well, the pastor didn't show up to this, or the pastor didn't do that. If you go ahead and you set the precedent in your church that this is the way it's going to be, and we're not going to put such and such, as far as we're not going to show favoritism, this is just the way it's going to be, and you lead your leaders right, you train your leaders right, that they can go to these things, that they can also participate, your teachers, your group leaders, your church will then become, the expectation will not be that the pastor has to be at everything. And you won't find yourself ragged and burnt out and tired all the time. And so I kind of look at a pastor's schedule like a budget, like a financial budget. All of us know, you know, your churches have budgets. Our church here has a budget, and we look at things and different brackets and different blocks of things that where we can grow. Sometimes we have to grow that budget or that area, that pocket, what I call them a pocket. And then you can take from that because you know that it's in there because it's a budget. The same thing goes with our priorities of time. And I feel like there's some priorities that we have to budget into our life. We have to literally have them as a pastor or a leader, have them into our life where this is what we do. And I've just wrote a few things down. The first thing is this: I have to study as a pastor. I have to study. I have a place that I study, and it's not always at the church either. I love to study, and I know it sounds crazy, but I love to study while I eat. I know I like to drink coffee, whether it be in the morning, whether it be in the evening. I love to study, get in the Word, but I'm always chomping on a little snack or sipping on some coffee or doing something. I love to study the Word of God. I do it a lot at home. I do have a pastor study here at my church, and I'll say a little bit more about that. But I like to study because often, you know, my kids are in school, all three. In the morning times, you know, usually through, I'll have one day where it's dedicated solely to study, and then I'll study throughout the week as well. But that one day, I'm really getting into the skeleton of the message for the upcoming Sunday, and again, I may say more about that in another episode. But we cannot neglect our Bible study as a pastor. That is what we are commanded to do. I can't forfeit my study to go to Susie's recital. We talked about our children, my very own children, the last episode. So you have to budget all of this in, and you have to study the Word. And then the second thing I do, I know this is crazy, but I answer emails. So there's a certain day of the week where I will, of course, I check my emails daily, but some are, they require time, especially here we are purchasing this other building, you know, possibly expanding. Y'all can imagine the time consumption in between banks, realtors, negotiations, and all the things that, you know, their email, constant emails. And then I've got folks in my church that email. Then our community emails us. We got VBS next week. I've answered at least four VBS emails. And I know some of you's like, why are you answering the VBS emails? Well, they just came to me. I'm not sure how, but I answered them because, hey, these are prospective parents and prospective families in our community. I want them to hear from the pastor. Nothing wrong with that. But I do answer emails, and I answer phone calls. So a lot of phone calls go to my voicemail, especially if I don't recognize the number, and I'll listen to the voicemail, and I'll answer that phone call when I have that allotted time. What's a shame is a lot of guys will not respond. A lot of guys say, well, I'm just too busy to answer emails, or I'm too busy to answer or call back. Listen, I've called other guys, and I know that I've done this before, so I'm not casting stones. I know that I've done this before, but there are men that are notorious for not calling you back. They just won't. And you know, after a while, you're like, are they not budgeting in that time to call people back? There's times I can't answer my phone. A lot of time that I can't answer my phone, but I can call a man back. It may be a day or two, but I can call you back. And if it's not urgent, the third thing is office hours. So I'm funny about office hours. There's many advantages to working remotely. I work remotely from home some throughout the week. Of course, I love coming to the church and working in the office. But evangelistic opportunities are one reason I try to work outside of the home But I live out in the country. I don't see no, but when I say that I have a great setup for, I wouldn't see a soul if I never left my house. So I'll go to a place. Like I said, I love to eat and study. I'll go to the office occasionally to my church office here. But again, there's not going to be, I've won some folks to Christ stopping by the church in the office. Very few in these 5 years, but probably maybe a handful of folks have stopped by needing something. I've been able to show them the Lord Jesus. But man, I cannot tell you how many times I've been in a restaurant, like a little sit down place, a little Mexican restaurant, or a little coffee place, or a sandwich shop, studying. Just bring my computer, bring my iPad, bring some pens and paper, bring my Bible, and I'm over there working. They don't mind. I usually ask them, "Hey, do you mind if I sit here for a little bit?" And because I'll have waitresses, I'll have people. I've had other pastors come in and talk to me. It's great evangelistic opportunities. And guys, take advantage of that. Divine appointments. I am in the office, and I do come. Of course, I don't come to the church on Mondays. I try not to. That's my off day. But that's a good thing for me. Is just remote. Getting in and studying wherever I can, especially at home. I will come to the church some. You set your office hours accordingly to how you want, but there's at least 2 days a week, possibly 3 days a week, that I'm in the office for a good amount of time. The other few days, I may not even come to the office. I may be out doing other things. Of course, Mondays is my off day. So there's another thing there that you should keep in with it. And let me just say this about office hours. Often when my truck is out at the church and people see my truck, a member or whatever, they'll stop in. So if you're going to study at the church, you better park behind the church if you're going to get any amount of time in study, because once my truck is here, people's going to stop. And that's just the way it is. And I want to chat with them, I want to talk to them. But if there's any time that I want to pray here or want to get in the Word and not be interrupted, you're going to have to either be somewhere else or be very strategic on how you do that. The fourth thing is lunch appointments. Every week, I do this. I don't know about you, but I love lunch appointments or breakfast appointments with people in our church. Men in our church will say, "Pastor, can I get with you?" Yeah, I cannot tell you how awesome this is, a great opportunity. Matter of fact, I had a young man in my singles class, he texted me this morning. He said, "Hey, Pastor, can I meet you at 12 o'clock today for lunch?" Now, I couldn't do it today. I had another appointment. But I love the lunch appointments that I have with these different men, breakfast, lunch, whatever, because we get to, and listen, it's not always just talking. It's just getting to know each other and talking and just having a good time. And so take those lunch appointments and don't just eat by yourself. Now, naturally, I am an introvert, so I don't mind eating lunch by myself. Matter of fact, there's times in my week where I like being by myself. I enjoy myself. I do. I enjoy just being alone sometimes. But take that time and come out of your shell if you are an introvert. If you're extrovert, then you need it. But if you're an introvert, you also need it, because I've got to pour into somebody. It's a great time to mentor, time to really get with somebody. Also, I said this last podcast, time with your wife. You have to weekly spend time with your wife and have that time, that date time. I told you we usually eat a meal, at least one meal a week alone, and it's our date time, whether it be a lunch date, whether it be an evening. We have a certain restaurant in Greenville we love. We have certain different breakfast spots. There's a little place by the church here called First Watch. We love breakfast there. I always want to be with my wife, and you that's the greatest investment that you can have. And then also family devotions. So again, these are things that I'm telling you as a pastor that you've got to budget these things into your life. Family devotions is very important. I ain't saying you got to do it every night, but set a night aside and read the Bible together, pray together, and just pour into each other. Talk about the Word of God. Pray. I want my kids to see that. I want my wife to see that. And then lastly is a day of rest. And again, Monday is my day of rest because I am so beat from Sunday. My Sunday schedule, I get to the church at about 6:30 on Sunday morning, sometimes a little earlier than that, but I try to be here by 6:30. And I there's a couple men already here before me turning lights on and getting things sanitized and opened up. But I'll get here about 6:30. The first service is at 8:30, so I preach that first service. Then at 10 o'clock, my wife and I started a singles group, 10, and that's really been a blessing. So we have my office is full of about 20 singles that we just teach and pour into for about 35, 40 minutes. Then I leave that group and go right to the next service at 11, and I preach the same message at 11. Usually we take a visiting family out for lunch at after that service. And then I don't go home. I'll come right back to the office, and I'll do a lot of work because Sunday afternoons are awesome time to work, and nobody bothers you on Sunday. I'll come in here, and I'll not go home because we have a 5 p.m. service. It's a brief service. We start at 5. We're usually done by 10 till 6, sometimes 6 o'clock. But we sing one song, and we have discipleship groups that break out, and then whoever's left in the church, which there's a still good number in the service, I'll preach a little lesson to them, teach a lesson to them, and then we go home. I usually don't get home till about 7:30, 8 o'clock. But it's a long day, but I have to look at my day. I have to look at those days because when I'm done on Sunday night, I'm done. I'm empty. Monday, I'm recovering, and I have to rest. If I hit the ground running Monday and I didn't slow up, that some people ask me, why do you take Monday off? Well, I have to for my sanity, for my health, for just to rest, because Tuesday, you know, I hit the ground. Usually Tuesday's an office day, and then Wednesday's a very busy day. And, it just gets busier the closer you get to Sunday. So I hope I said something today that that maybe can help you schedule. Maybe it reminds you of your calling. I'm not sure. Maybe you've been guilty of trying to meet everybody's needs and be there at every person's special event. It's impossible. I don't even see how a guy could do it with 25 members. I don't see how you could meet everybody's special event, everything special. Now, you can send cards, you can send I text people to death. Text messages, use social media to your advantage, those things. But at the end of the day, physically study the word, be prayed up, be filled up, ready to go, because that is your calling. That is what you are supposed to do. Feed the flock of God, not run programs. I'm not the Awana director. I'm not the youth pastor. I'm not the nursery director. I'm not the janitor. I'm not the lawn care maintenance guy. I'm not any of those things. Now, if they have problems, and I'll certainly try to help them, but I'm the pastor, and my main job and calling is to feed the flock of God. And even if you're bivocational and you're working a job and pastoring a church, my hat goes off to you. Your schedule is already 9-to-5 man or whatever your schedule is, or maybe you're self-employed or whatever, but you're busy. You're going to definitely have to be strategic. Your week's already taken up 40, 50, 60 hours a week of already working, supplying, feeding your family. But still, implement these things into your life. Do them. You might have to be very strategic about it, but do them. And my prayer for you is that God will bless what you do, and that God will, listen, there's no small church in God's eyes. It's all a big deal. And we all, pastoring just in general is tough enough. But can you imagine pastoring without the study time and the prayer and being ready and prepared? I just know what's sitting in my seats each Sunday. And I know some of the stories and know some of the heartaches and some of the burdens and some of the things. And it motivates me to be ready. And I hope it motivates you too. Because just think, people have come to hear from God. And you are God's mouthpiece. And it's a huge deal for you to be ready. Even if you're teaching a class, on Sunday or pouring into teenagers, it's such a big deal for us to be ready. Schedule that time and be ready. And I hope that some of these things that I shared with you today will certainly be a blessing. And again, thank you for taking the time to listen for a few minutes on the Real Vintage Podcast. My prayer is that you got something from this, that you'll take it, maybe re-listen to it, and please, whatever you do, share it. Talk about it. Put it out there. We love it. We absolutely love to see people get blessings from our podcast. That's our prayer. Pray for us here, and we love you guys. Thank you again for listening to the Real Vintage Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Real Vintage Podcast. You can connect with us through social media at facebook.com/realvintagepodcast or Instagram at Real Vintage Podcast or even Twitter at @real_vintage. Also, feel free to email us at realvintagepodcast@gmail.com. And again, thank you for listening, and please stay tuned for another episode next week. God bless.